Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino. Pakinggan niyo pa ang kwento sa sbs.com.au/filipino.
Today is River Knight. He is the CEO of Australian Communities, and we are going to talk about how people are coping post-pandemic, can we say, or slowly coping with the new normal. Good day, River.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time.
Oh, no problem.
So, last year has been a difficult time, particularly for people living with disabilities, isn't it?
It is, and it sometimes gets forgotten, but we have 4 million people in Australia living with a disability, which is around 18% of the population.
And during those times, a lot of the services were temporarily put to a stop because people needed to remain inside the homes or no one could visit them at their homes, isn't it?
Yeah, so we had some of those lockdown situations, but just in general during the pandemic, even without the lockdown officially happening, people with a disability had to make sure that they protected themselves and stayed safe, and the service providers have had to rethink how things are done quite a lot to make sure that the essential services are provided. But the reality is that some of that has had a significant impact on people's mental health, and it's been hard to reconnect with the community.
And how has it been going so far now that we are slowly rethinking things towards the new normal?
Well, we're not out of the woods yet, so we're still very cautious, and every time there's a spike, we all get very nervous. NDIS has done a fantastic job sharing information around all the service providers. But what we did see is some people didn't spend a lot of that funding that they had available to spend on services. And it's a bit of a use-it-or-lose-it approach with NDIS. So when they have those next plans, they don't kind of get to keep that funding and mm-hmm. spend it on extra things this year. It's very much about just trying to make sure that those services that they didn't access are still seen as essential services that we hope they don't miss out on this year because they didn't get to use them last year.
So you did mention use it or lose it. So under the National Disability Insurance Scheme, if it's left untouched, it's not going to be allocated the following year.
Well, the funding doesn't really roll over. So each year or each 2 years, depending on the length of your plan, the plan goes from a certain date to a certain date. So you need to use those funding that you got allocated within those dates. So if you don't use that funding, it doesn't get given to you as an extra the following year. So that each time you get a plan with funding in it, it's for that period. We start fresh. And we certainly are confident that NDIS won't take the approach of saying, you know, you didn't use your access to the community sort of funding, maybe you don't need it this year. I'm pretty sure that NDIS won't take that policy, but I have seen some anxiety and I have seen a few NDIS staff almost kind of take that approach, which we're just hoping that doesn't happen too much.
Why does it remain untouched or unspent, as they say?
Well, there's a few different reasons, and even without COVID, the systemic issues around navigating a complex program like NDIS, finding service providers, connecting with service providers, even just once you've got your plan, how to get it started, it can be a real challenge for people with a disability. So the work that Australian Communities is doing and our partner company developing Australian Communities is doing is trying to create events and spaces where people can connect really easily mm-hmm. with service providers to get those service providers started as fast as they can because people need those services.
And it did mention that only 2/3 or 68% of the funding is currently being utilised, isn't it?
So the NDIS provides statistics around how plans are utilised, and sometimes in some areas we find that plans are underutilised and they don't use all the funding in that budget. So it can vary from region to region, but I have seen times where people have only used 30% of their funding, or they may only have about 60 to 70% of that funding being used. And sometimes it's because things like COVID, where I can't use my community access funding because I can't access the community, so I need supports at home. And then other times it might be just I can't find a service provider in my area to do what I need to do. And you can imagine in regional areas that aren't in the city centres, that'd be a real struggle for some people.
And so if I or a family member need support from the NDIS, how can I make sure that I utilize the funding that's allocated for myself or my family member?
Well, the hardest part is connecting with service providers. So we tell people to hop on those social media groups where they can talk to people who have had the same experience. They can look at the networks, find people in their local areas. But also we tell people to hop on the NDIS website because they do have a lot of information there. But the problem with having 15,000 service providers registered in Australia is a big list. So we try and provide those expo spaces to allow people to get together and find those service providers all in one spot. And then we get rid of that whole stand and here's a pamphlet approach. We have a team of staff that are there from all service providers all over the state to help them answer questions, ask anything they could possibly want to ask about NDIS, and also then have that kind of concierge support to sort of say, you know, these are the things that you can spend that funding on. And if you're not sure, let's walk through that with you. And it's a free service that we do at our expos, which makes our expos a lot different than some of the others that are running around the country.
Now, how do I know if I am even qualified for the funding?
Well, one of the things that I tell a lot of people is try not to look at whether your disability qualifies you. So NDIS, and what I find is that we don't look at funding a disability or a diagnosis. We look at funding what are the supports that a person needs because what's the impact on that person's life from their disability? And that's very individual. So what we tend to say to people is, get some really good assessments from like an occupational therapist or a psychologist or someone professional working in your life that really identifies, you know, what concrete support might you need to have funded in your life to allow you choice and control and allow you to really live a good life, because that's what NDIS focuses on. So rather than looking at what's my diagnosis, we tell people, start there and then, you know, talk to NDIS about applying to see if they're eligible for that program, but with a good idea of what exactly do I probably need support around, because it makes the process a lot easier.
And is it only for people with physical disability or does it cover mental and emotional as well?
So the NDIS scheme supports people with a range of disability diagnoses. So some may be physical disabilities. We might also have cognitive disabilities, intellectual impairments. We have acquired brain injuries. There's health conditions that roll over into that disability impact, but also mental health. So looking at what they call psychosocial, which is looking at, you know, some of the mental illness or what we call psychiatric disabilities. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the people that we work with will have a disability. They'll also have a mental illness. They also might have traumatic experiences, things that combine into a complex set of, challenges for someone to make them really unique. And that's why we say, look, make sure you think about what supports you need, because NDIS do fund supports that consider things like mental illness. But that's one of the things we found with COVID. So people being locked up, feeling locked up in their own homes, and because they don't want to go out to the community and accidentally catch COVID, that's impacted on people's mental health, because that's a very big population within the people that access NDIS.
And also, if I am caring for someone with a disability, am I able to access it for the person as a respite care?
Well, respite's something that can be really tricky. And during COVID, a lot of the respite services weren't available. So sometimes it was a bit hard to access that because a lot of services needed to make sure that they were protecting people with that spread of COVID.
Yes.
But respite is usually about the carer. So with NDIS, they fund the person, not the carer. So when a person gets funding, they need to be talking about, okay, my carer, who's my informal sort of support, it might be a family member, may not always be able to provide me with my 24-hour, 7-day-a-week support. So sometimes they may not be available, they may need a break. So I might need some funding for what they call short-term accommodation or respite. And that's something they need to have a conversation about with NDIS when they're looking at that planning, because it's something that does need to be included. It's a vital thing for carer burnout. And that's something we saw a lot of with COVID, carers being put under that carer burnout stress. And it's something that is very real.
And so I guess going forward, living with the reality of the threat of the pandemic still around, it's important that we know which services that can help us live a better and more comfortable life, isn't it?
It is, and there's a lot of different options and a lot of different services, and that's one of the things that NDIS has done really well, is allow people that choice and control. So if they find a service that they put in place, they don't like that service, it's not doing what they thought it was going to do, they can change service providers and go to another provider, and that allows that choice and control. We'd always say to people, never feel afraid to ask questions, and the work that Australian Communities is doing and developing Australian Communities, the work that I do, really focuses on wanting the sector to raise the bar and deliver a disability services sector that we can all be proud of.
River Knight from Australian Communities, thank you for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Nice yung makinig na iba pang kwento na tulad ito? Makinig sa Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify o sa iba pang podcast apps.